So the story of Yisro is great, and there's lots to say about it, and we've learned about it in years past. And we're going to focus now on receiving the Torah, Matan Torah, and the preparation for it. We're going to have a three-part series on receiving the Torah, prep for receiving the Torah. Starting off with the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, Kapitel Yutes, which also happens to be the fourth reading of Parshas Yisro. So, the Torah, after having interrupted with the narrative of Yisro and the episode that him and Moshe Rabbeinu came to the conclusion with God's help that you need delegating and everybody else involved, the Torah now returns to the original historical narrative, which is the Jewish people having left Mitzrayim, who are now going to receive the Torah. Before God offered the Torah to the Jewish people, the Medrash tells us, and Rashi quotes this later on, he offered to the Edomites, these of course are the children of Esau, of Esav, and to the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Yishmael, who's the son of Avram. They refused to accept it. Which brings us back to the Jewish people. And that's where chapter 19 opens. B'chedesh HaShlishi, the preparation for Matan Torah begins with a date. It was on the third month, a timeline. Let's say Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, for the Jewish people's leaving the land of Egypt. Bayom hazeh, on this very day, bo midbar Sinai. On this very day, they arrived at Mount Sinai. So Rashi will comment on what is the meaning of bayom hazeh, on this very day. But first, I want to share with you that the Bali HaTosfos said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu found the Jewish people totally wiped out. In the words of the Bali HaTosfos, Toshe Koyach O Bali Mumen. He found them weakened. He found them blemished, damaged, broken. And these broken people were not going to be able to receive the Torah. So there was a convalescence, a period of recovery, of rehabilitation. And that took until the third month. He says this is when the color returned to their cheeks. This is when they fully bounced back to themselves after the debilitating experience of backbreaking labor and persecution and slavery. The Ur HaChaim says that it's not just a question of physical health, but rather it's a question of purification. After all, the Jewish people, until just before the Exodus, were idolaters, steeped in the culture of Mitzrayim of the day. And so, yes, it's true they forswore the idea of Avodah Zarah, they slaughtered the sheep, they dashed its blood on the doorposts, but in the end, there was a process of rehabilitation which they became purified from the toxins of sin and now became poised and prepared to receive the Torah. In fact, Ur HaChaim says that's why it says, B'chedesh HaShlishi, Letzeis Bnei Yisrael. There's an emphasis in going out, leaving Egypt behind. And of course, the Maggid of Mizrich famously teaches that the concept of Sfirat HaOmer, which took place during the course of those weeks, is also related to the idea of sapir, Evan sapir, a translucent stone like crystal or sapphire. And the idea would be that the Jewish people began to glow and radiate spiritually because of their having left Mitzrayim behind and preparing for Matan Torah. At any rate, by Yom HaZeh, on this very day, they come to Midbar Sinai, to the Sinai Desert. The Ibn Ezra says that the reason that we're going to emphasize this is the very day they came to the Sinai Desert. And then in the next verse we go back to the original place of departure, which is Rephidim, is to tell us that this was a far journey. And in one day, Bayom HaZeh, they left Rephidim. It's really quite a journey. And the very same day they got to Sinai, so there was a miraculous kind of arrival. Now, the Chizkuni says, similar to the ideas that we hear from the Bali HaTosfos, it was only on this day that they were finally recovered. It was as soon as it was possible. Hashem didn't give them the Torah one moment too soon, also didn't delay it one extra moment. Today, by Yom HaZeh, now they were ready, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins the preparations in earnest. But there's a problem with this all. And the problem is that it says by Yom HaZeh, but in fact it should have written by Yom HaHu. Not on this day, but on that day. Because after all, this is a historical narrative. We're talking about something that happened in the past. Why would the Torah deviate? First of all, why would the Torah say Bayom HaZeh altogether? then even if we're going to have an explanation for Bayom HaZeh on this very day, the proper grammar would be on that day. So Rashi explains this in two the seemingly separate comments, but he conflates them into a common explanation. He says, first of all, Bayom HaZeh is to emphasize the very first day of the third month. Namely, it wasn't at some point in the third month, but it was Bayom HaZeh. As soon as it turned third month, that's the day they arrived, and of course that day is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, on the first day of Sivan, Bayom HaZeh, on this day, on the first day they got there. Now, Rashi points out, okay, so you want to tell me that they got there on the first day of Sivan, but it doesn't have to say Bayom HaZeh? It should have said that day. What's Bayim HaZeh? What's this day? And he says this comes to indicate Sheyiyu Divrei Torah Chadoshim Alecha, that the words of Torah should be brand new for you. In other words, that the anticipation that we felt on that day when we arrived at Har Sinai, why do we feel anticipation? Because soon we're going to get the Torah. This was a new experience. This is something we waited for, something we prepared for. And that excitement over soon to be receiving the Torah is supposed to be re-experienced daily as we relate to the Torah as if God is giving it to us today. So you wake up in the morning and you say, I got to go learn some Torah. Oh, I learned Torah last night. I learned Torah yesterday in the morning. Again, we're going to learn some Torah. Fine, if that's what God wants from me. But instead, you should imagine that you got an email late last night. God is coming tomorrow morning and he's giving you his Torah. Please show up. And they're going to come up early. You're going to be so excited. Why? Because, are you kidding? God is giving us his Torah. This is unbelievable. This is a major event in history. Every day is the most important day in history. And right now is how we're supposed to feel excited about the study of Torah. Okay, let's talk about the encampment. Let's talk about the journey. We move on to verse 2. Vayisu mirefidim. They journeyed forth from Refidim. The Torah is now like backtracking and giving us the details. And we are told that they left their Refidim vayavayu, and they arrived Midbar Sinai. So now we've reiterated the details of the journey, and of course that needs to be understood. We already said that the Jewish people bo Midbar Sinai. In verse 1, they came to Sinai. Now we're going back to the journey, and we're talking about where they left from. Lamai nafkemina. What difference does that make where they left from? We already arrived. Now we have to go back to where we left from. That's question 1. Then the pasuk says, vayachanu. The Yachanu Bamidbar. Okay. They camped in the desert. Well, there wasn't anywhere else to camp, but the point is they camped. They broke camp, made camp here. Then it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Negedahar, the Jewish people camped corresponding or against the mountain. But here's the problem. Well, number one, it says, Vayachanu, and it says, Vayichan, two times. Number two, the first time it says, Vayachanu, which grammatically is proper. That's correct. You're talking about millions of people. They camped. And then it says, Vayichan, which means he camped. So when it comes to Neged Ahar, we use the singular rather than the plural, and this, of course, begs a big question. So let's take a look and see what Rashi has to say. Vayisu mirfidim. Rashi actually spells out the question, and he says, Lama hutzrach lachzer ulefaresh mehechan aso. Why was it required? Why was it necessary? Why did the Torah deem it to be appropriate to reiterate where they traveled from? Haloik var kosav. You already told us earlier that they were in Refidim Hayochainim. We read that in the 17th chapter. We haven't read of another journey since. So if somebody were to ask you before you begin chapter 19, or even after you begin chapter 19, where they travel from, you'll say, I don't know, I'm going to go back and look. And you go back and look, and where would you find them? The last place you'll find them is in Refidim. So then common logic will say they must have journeyed from Refidim. You're looking for it. Beginning of chapter 17. That's where
I believe
it.
You
can look, though.
I was looking for something.
Never trust your rabbi. Go ahead, take a look. So it says it clearly over there. They were in Refidim. So we know they must have been for Refidim. They didn't go for a little stroll in outer space. It's self-understood that if that's the last place they were, that's the last place that they traveled from. So why does the Torah have to repeat it? Besides the fact that the Torah repeats it, it's as if backtracking in verse 2, telling us about where they traveled from, after in verse 1, we already know that they arrived. So what are you talking about past tense? L'mayinaf kamina, what difference does this make? Ella, so Rashi says, there's a very important message that's being conveyed. L'hakish, nisi asan mirefidim, Libi Asan Lemidbar Sinai. The Torah is coming to compare the way they left the place called Rephidim to the way they arrived at Midbar Sinai. What, how did they leave? Ma biyason leMidbar Sinai b'tshuva. Just as when they left Midbar Sinai, they left with a sense of contriteness. They left with a spirit of repentance, a unanimous spirit of repentance, for having doubted if Hashem's presence was amongst them. So too, af nisiyosam. Lahakesh nisiyosam in the field of Har Sinai. Ma biyosam midbar Sinai b'tshuva. Just as we know, they arrived at Har Sinai with a unanimous sense of repentance, and they all came excited to receive the Torah. Af nisiyosam mirafidim, so too, when they left the Fidim, when they had regretted having questioned whether Hashem was amongst us, you should know that they left also with a sense of profound contriteness, a sense of tshuva, a sense of repentance for the mistakes that they did. In other words, the Jewish people didn't wisen up when they got to Har Sinai. They already left in the right frame of mind, in the right spiritual place. They left Rafidim the way they arrived at Har Sinai. And because the Torah wants you to know that they left Rafidim the way they arrived at Har Sinai, that's why the Torah backtracks and tells you this was not something that happened only when they arrived, but even when they left, already they had that unanimity amongst them and that spiritual closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why does it go from plural to singular? And why do we speak about this twice? So Rashi does not address the double expression at all. He doesn't express it, he doesn't address it. And maybe that's because he reads something into the second expression, which tells you that only when they got to Har Sinai did they reach this level of encampment. The other Mefarshim speak about it. The Ibn Ezra says that there was two camps. There was the camp of the people, and there was the camp of the leadership of the nation. He says that the Rashi Hamatis, the heads of the tribes, the Zakenim, they camped very close to the mountain. The ordinary people, or the masses, they camped further away in the Sinai desert. And because there was less people camping close to the mountain, that's why it says Vayichan. It's not one person, but it means much less people. The mass encampment was at a distance, at Har Sinai. The close encampment was the leadership. The Ramban says that the Jewish people did not divide themselves from the leaders, but there was a division in which the Erev Rav, the riffraff, the mixed multitude that joined the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim, now they were distance. They weren't as excited as getting the Torah. Whatever, they camped from a distance. It was only the Jewish people who camped close to Har Sinai, fully anticipating the giving of the Torah. The thing is, the Ramban doesn't really explain why one says Vayachanu and one says Vayichan. In fact, quite the opposite. There was less Erev Rav and more Jewish people. So if you want to use a plural for one, it should have used the plurality with a larger number for the people who camped close to the mountain. So Ramban doesn't really answer that question. We're going to need to find the answer of Rashi. And Rabbeinu Bachaya very interestingly says that Vayachanu was on the first day. On the first day, it was Vayachanu. And then, on the second day of Sivan, Vayichan, they came closer to the mountain. That was only by Yom HaSheni. So there was a difference between the first day and between the second day. And we'll soon see how much of this is reflected in Rashi and the other commentaries. Let's take a look now in Rashi. Vayichan Sham Yisrael. So Rashi points out that Vayichan Sham, which is written in the singular tense, is odd. And he says this is because when the Jewish people camped at Har Sinai, they did so ki ish echad belev echad, like one person united in absolute total unanimity of heart. Aval shaar achanoyes, all of the other campings, they were betarumes ubemachlekes. They were filled with discord, filled with divisiveness. So in other words, the camping to prepare the Torah is related in the singular tense because this was different than all of the other encampments. Here, they were united in this religious national consciousness that they were going to receive the Torah. Subsequent, that was not the case. Every time, until they entered the land of Israel, they were never again united in spirit. There was always individuals or groups who dissented against the rest of the Jewish people or actually openly rebelled. So they camp facing the mountain, Neged Ahar, Rashi says, L'mizrachi. This is on the eastern side of Mount Sinai. And he says, you should know, V'chomakim shatem moitzi. Whenever you find the word Neged, which literally means against, it means facing, and it means pan of lemizrach. They were facing the east. In other words, why is this? Because the east is called the face of the world. That's where the sun rises from. That's where the day begins. So that's why the idea of panim, face, refers to east, and that's the way that they were mighty, they were facing. The west side is called the backside usually, because that's where the sun goes down. So where the sun goes up is called face. Where it goes down is called the back. And here it was neged, corresponding to, which means they were on the east side of the mountain. Okay, very nice. Let us go to our Biurim book. There, you're going to hear a fascinating detail. Something that even Rashi didn't tell us about. This is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. We've got a page Samach Beis. There in the 10th entry of Parshas Yisrei, here's a quote from the Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, page 86b. This is the sugi of Matan Torah. So what happened on that first day? Were there words? Was there an exchange? Was there an address? What happened? Doesn't say anything happened. It says they camped. They arrived and they camped. So the Gemara says, Beresh Chodesh Asu L'Midbar Sinai. On Rosh Chodesh, they arrived at Midbar Sinai. Samach Beis. The page? V'loy Amar Lohu, he said nothing to them. V'loy Midi, nothing happened. It was a blad day. Why did anything happen? He says, B'shum Chol Shadorcha. They were tired. This was like they were exhausted from the journey. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rebbe begins his commentary and he says, this is quite astonishing. Hare yadu alonu, it is known to us, based on the words of the Medrash of our sages. We find this in the Ran, in the end of Maseches Pesachim, who speaks about this. Ad kama aza hoysa chukosam shol b'nei Yisrael l'kabal satera. How excited they were to get the Torah. How much they yearned to receive the Torah. How much? How much did they yearn? Ad kidei sfiras hayomim. So much so that they were counting, anticipating, almost with a childlike innocence and excitement. They were counting those days, shenoisru ad yom matan Torah. As people do, especially children, when they're anticipating a date, they make themselves little charts and they count down the days in excitement. That's what the Jewish people were doing. They were counting down the days in excitement. So, eich yitochen, how is it possible, Eifei? Shadafka behagiyam lumokim. When they come to the place, this is the appointed spot. They finally arrive in the destination. Shaboy amda chukosam agdoilu lizgashem. Now, their great desire, their aspiration is about to become actualized, become concretized. This is about to happen. We're in the place. Hashaifa aleihem choshes haderech. All of a sudden, pardon me, hishpi aleihem. All of a sudden, they're influenced by the traveling. They have the burden of traveling suddenly hits them. You've been traveling for 2 months. The rest of Nisan, the rest of the whole of the year. You came the first day, and now you got tired. And on the day you finally got to your destination, now you got choshes haderech. Ad kedei kach shelihayu beefsharusam lishmaya v'loy davar echad. They couldn't hear nothing. Nothing. What happened? Nothing happened. Nothing? Nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, this is the mountain. Wow, that's amazing. I'm so proud of you. You guys are actually here in unanimity. You're united in spirit. You have this amazing religious, spiritual consciousness about it. Please keep it up. Nothing. Le'omer lehulamidi didn't say a word to them. Say something. As they say in Yiddish, zaga gutvart, you know, just encourage them a little. Tell them you're proud of them. Guys, kids, you didn't kvetch yet. I'm so proud of you. This is amazing. This is fantastic. You think you can keep this up for like another 40 years or something? He didn't say anything. He didn't utter a word. Nothing happened. Nothing. Not even to say, guys, this is it. That's the mountain. Look really hard at it. This is the place. Nothing. Garnished, all quiet. Le'amalu le'midi. They didn't say a word. And the excuse? Because they were tired. So the Rebbe suggests a radical new perspective. He says, do not read this as exhausted or tired. That's not what it means. Kavanas ha'gemara eini l'chul shoshanava me'aderech ha'gashmias. The exhaustion here is not a physical exhaustion.
It's not because the Jewish people had a big journey, even though, as Ibn Ezra told us, it was a big journey and quite miraculous that they made it there in one day. That's not what this is about. Ella, but rather, we refer here, l'derech haruchnius. We refer here to a spiritual journey. The Bnei Yisrael reached a point of weakening. They weakened something. In their spiritual journey, they reached a point of national weakening. What kind of national weakening? That's how you prepare for the Torah? Well, Rebbe says, alalosh and akosov, on the verbiage that the scripture employs here, which is singular, vayichan, our sages tell us, and Rashi just quoted this, it's in the Mechilta, we just read it in Rashi, that this encampment was unlike all the other encampments, it was ki'ishachad b'lev echad, absolute, total unanimity, as if they were one person. The other encampment's another story. Matzav zeh, you know that this situation, ain't no matzav tivi, that's not nature. It's not a natural thing. Because the nature of people is, ain de yisem shavis. The nature of people is that they have different opinions. Jewish people are just like everybody else, only a little more so. So if everybody has different opinions, we Jewish people, oh boy, do we have opinions. And we have different ways of looking at things. And we have unique approaches to things. So to come to have a nation of 1 million people, 2 million people, and everybody's on the same page, everybody's thinking exactly the same thing, everybody wants exactly the same thing. Everybody, not a single dissenting voice. Lahagia, to reach a matzav bilti tivi, such an unnatural situation. Shabay mizbatlim kol chilukei hadeis. All differences of opinion have melted away. Everybody has raised their hands. Everybody's in total commitment. We're all on the same page. How does that happen? How did you get to a ish echad b'lev echad? The answer is there must have been some kind of spiritual journey. Mativoi shomaseruch nizeh. What is the nature of this spiritual journey? Maya derech. What's the highway to take? Hamevilili de'achtos, that brings to such kind of unity. How do we travel this road in order to reach that destination? Despite the fact that they couldn't do it again. And despite the fact that it's so unnatural. So there is only one day, one way. It's only one day to get to a day like this. And that's al yedei bitul v'achloshas hatchunas achitzenius. That's through weakening our own individual perspectives. That's through, so to speak, stepping back from who we are as individuals and de-emphasizing the distinctions and the differences between us, which separate ben Yehudi echad l'chaveri, between one Jew and his fellow. This could be a difference in intelligence, a difference in methodology, a difference of how we choose to look at things and analyze them, a difference of emotional quotients or how we relate to things. Some people are excitable by nature and some people are morose and restrained. Everybody's got a different attitude. Everybody's got a different approach. However, when they came to Har Sinai, they took the differences and set them all aside. They weakened their individual personas. They weakened their own self-expression. And instead, they focused on the Nekuda HaPnimis Rebbein Shmasei Shal Yehudi. They focused on the inner essence, which this was a Nekuda, that's a point and an essence that was in everyone's heart equally. So when they focused only on that, when they weakened their outer perspective, their outer reality of consciousness, and focused only on the inner reality of consciousness, they were megala the achtos apnimis. They revealed then the true unanimity that existed amongst them. And that, my dear friends, the Rebbe suggests, is the meaning of the words of our sages in the Gemara. Like amar lahu v'loy midi. They didn't say anything. Nothing was said. Nothing was done. Why? Mishum cholsho d'orcha. Because they're weakened from the journey. What does this mean? Cholsho d'orcha. Haderech haruchnius. The inner journey. The spiritual journey. She'asu b'nei Yisrael b'yemzeh, that the Jewish people had undergone in this day. She'evia oisem l'dechanoia, which brought them to be able to encamp in total, absolute unanimity, was krucha b'cholsho. It was linked or connected to a weakness. The hachlosha and the bittul of the metzias ha'atzmis. It was the weakening of their own egos, the weakening of their own realities, of their own perspectives. Lahagia, in order to reach a gili ha'achtos, a revelation of real unanimity and oneness. And that's the meaning of le'omer lohu v'le'midi. What does it mean they didn't say anything? There was no self-expression. Nobody marveled in his own or her own unique way. Nobody took it in their own unique mannerism. They left that aside. It didn't make a difference who I am as an individual. It didn't make a difference on you as an individual. Today we didn't arrive as individuals. Today we arrived as a nation. We arrived as a singular organism functioning together. And that kind of bitul atzmi, that being able to set one side aside, to set oneself, so to speak, take oneself off the table. Forget about how I look at this or how I like this. It's not about me. It's not about you as an individual. It's not about us as unique, separate, and disparate people. Rather, it's about us who are coming together for something greater. And that's called bitul atzmi. That's called self-suspension, entire suspension of self. And that is something which is eini derech samira. That doesn't need a soapbox speech. That doesn't need the giving of ear or the public declaration. That needs shtika. That needs silence. That needs a kind of quiet, hamevatas, his batlos, that represents nullity and self-abnegation. And that then is a deeper meaning, mishum chulsha d'orcha, the weakening of the way, or the way of weakening. They traveled a journey of weakening, and when they're able to set themselves aside and able instead to focus on the bigger picture, then we were able to camp at Har Sinai in singular fashion, in unanimity, and that was the first preparation that we underwent in order to receive the Torah. Only happened.